What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm Louis Ezekiel. Joining me tonight, my pal and yours for the first time together this season here in season 7 of Short Shifts, Jeremy Versillo. Jeremy, how are you doing on this fine, fine Tuesday evening?
I'm doing great, Louis. I'm winning my fantasy matchup against the fantasy hockey robot himself, Brian Kamm, so I'm pretty happy. And yeah, we just had a bit of a schedule switch this week, so you'll be getting Shams with one of our other hosts on Thursday, and I'm on Tuesday instead.
Yeah, we've been shaking things up a little bit lately. I probably won't be the last time. Great episode from Ryan last Tuesday when I had to step out unexpectedly. Thank you to Ryan Downey for stepping in and covering for me. But Jeremy, we have so much to talk about. We don't have time to jib and jab. Let's get on to the action. And I think the number one headline we got to talk about is the return of David Pastrnak. Was listed as a game time decision and played in the game. So far has been lined up with Husnidinov and Frazier Minton. And that trio combined for a goal, with Minton scoring and the others getting the assist. What are you thinking about the return of Pasta? Does this mean we should all be running out to grab Frazier Minton? Are we picking up any Boston player who's on his wings right now? What's the plan?
I'm not looking to grab the second and third wheels on the Pastrnak line. We actually are going to talk about some other Boston players later this episode that might be more interesting than Minton, Husnidinov. It's just kind of a dire offensive situation in general. I think the big thing here is that Alex Steeves' time may have run out. He was really hot recently and was hitting, and he was on the first line. Looks like he's still there, but he may be getting less time going forward.
Yeah, I think as soon as Steve's kind of became a hot potential commodity, he ran up a bit of a schedule where it was going to be tough to fit him in. And, you know, now he's cooled off a bit. So, yeah, probably an okay time to move on from him. And as you teased about, we will talk about a couple other Boston players down the line. Specifically Zacha and Arvidsson, and what the new deployment might mean for them. But in the meantime, we also got to see some other good news in Boston. Charlie McAvoy back in a regular jersey. Anything actionable on McAvoy hopefully getting back? Are we worried about his weight loss, since apparently his idea of blending himself a smoothie is putting chicken and vegetables in a blender and being surprised that it doesn't taste very good?
I am worried about McAvoy's return. Just apparently he lost 20 pounds, and that's a lot for an NHL player, especially if you're a defenseman who relies a bit on his body to push people around. I also think that the NHL needs to start including cooking classes, given the number of food-related injuries and mishaps we've had this year.
I just feel, yeah, I mean, definitely the kitchen is one of the most dangerous places for these NHL players. But like, I feel like there just needs to be someone surrounding these people who can bail them out of these situations. Someone who is willing to be the brave person to say, Charlie, listen, I know, you know, obviously you're a great athlete, you're an NHL player, but it seems clear that you don't know anything about how, you know, cooking or nutrition basics work. So I'm going to make you something that might actually keep you from losing a ton of weight. Yes, obviously a puck to the face is going to make eating hard. And I guess the question is then, if Hampus Lindholm, who has had flashes of brilliance in that spot and a lot of pretty humdrum outings, should people be looking to drop him right away when we see McAvoy's return? Is it worth holding on to him for a minute if you've been holding him anyway through this time? You know, do you think he's not going to lose that value right away?
I think you got to get him off your roster. I said a couple weeks ago that I didn't think he was worth holding a ton, and he's been pretty rough since then. Granted, I was completely wrong on Darren Radish at the same time. But yeah, Lindholm hasn't done enough with the increased deployment for me to want to hold when McAvoy is back in the picture.
All right, well, maybe that's a good spot to maybe jump to one of our important news updates here, and that is, there's been a lot of debate, of course, about Darren Radish. I know that you are not a much of a believer. I planted my flag and said he was going to hold his value with Hedman's return. Unfortunately, it sounds like that is going to get a grade of incomplete, but hopefully you did hold on to Radish, because we did see Hedman leave the game today with an injury. So back out of the game. We're not obviously going to wait on some news from the team. But yeah, that, you know, opening that's there for Radish appears to continue to be open, and he continues to produce despite maybe not wowing the analytics community. He, you know, has been certainly a godsend for those who managed to pick him up. So I imagine the only actionable bit there is, you know, hopefully you made an offer. I made an offer for Radish last week because I hoped that his owner might think he would be about to lose some deployment. No bites. So that manager is continuing to enjoy the Radish renaissance.
I took a look before this episode while Lewis and I were prepping to see if Radish had been dropped in any of my leagues, because some people may be quick on the trigger with Hedman coming back and then immediately getting hurt. No such luck for me, but maybe you'll have some luck. I'm bought in on Radish now. I'll admit I was wrong 2-3 weeks ago whenever I had that discussion. It looks like he's going to keep scoring and keep getting that deployment on a very good Tampa Bay team.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Sergachev steal, essentially, you know, the entirety of power play one from Hedman in the past. I don't think Radish is a Sergachev level guy, but Sergachev has, you know, struggled a lot lately while Radish has been great. So, you know, the results are what you're looking for, even if sometimes they don't line up with those expectations. So hopefully, yeah, you did hold on to him, or if you have a chance to pick him up, yeah, he is still going to be valuable with Hedman out again. And Ryan Downey pointed out too, you know, with the compressed Olympic schedule, it might be a little harder for some of the older players to be able to get back from injury and that sort of thing. So just one more idea to keep in mind when you're thinking about how things are going to go this season. All right, Jeremy, give us a few other injury-outry headlines here. We've got such a bunch.
Well, the one that caught my eye first was Thomas Harley. He's back. He hasn't done much this year. I have been benefiting from the ninth-round Heiskanen draft pick. It kind of looks like one of those situations where one of them's going to be good and one of them isn't, and maybe this year's a Heiskanen year. I do really like Thomas Harley as a player. We'll see if he's back. A couple other guys back. J.G. Peugeot's back for the Islanders. He's always a fringe fantasy-relevant candidate. And it looks like Demko is going to get the next start for Vancouver, and Wedgwood is in net tonight.
Yeah, some important returns, and one maybe on the horizon as well, as Lucas Dostal was at the morning skate and is on the road trip. I know you had a little bit of an update on him as well.
It looks like, yeah, he was at the morning skate. He is on the road trip with the team, which is a 5-game road trip. So it may not be Thursday. It may not be Saturday, but he's working his way back. He's at the 2-week mark of an initial 2-3 week timeline. Although I will say, Ville Husso just completed a 44 save shootout win. Pittsburgh took 47 shots on him, but Anaheim wins the shootout 4-3. So guess Husso's been pretty good.
Yeah, you're burying the lead there a little bit, too. Husso did have that one really bad start, but yes, otherwise it's been stellar. But yeah, Anaheim tied that game up with, you were telling me, about 0.1 second remaining, shorthanded on a broken play. So pretty spectacular finish there. All right, let's do a little bit of a lightning round here. We've got Rickard Rakell back in a regular jersey. Sounds like he'll be back for the Penguins soon, I would imagine, alongside Sidney Crosby, but we'll have to wait and see. We also have Nick Foligno skating. So, you know, could he potentially be fantasy relevant this year? And then with Zuccarello now injured again, who does that open up a lineup spot for on power play one, especially, would be interesting. Tarasenko took that spot during the game after the Zuccarello injury. But I know that Shams has, you know, kind of a loose rule about don't necessarily trust, you know, who the team sticks in there mid-game. It may not be the person who ends up there come practice time. So do any of those move the needle for you in a significant way? Anything actionable from Rakell, Foligno potentially returning and Zuccarello's injury?
I'm going to wait and see how long Zuccarello is out for. I believe it's a concussion, so, you know, it could be a week, it could be the rest of the season. You never know. Hopefully he gets better soon. I'm not particularly interested in any of his replacements, though. Did anybody do anything interesting last time he was out for a long time? Tarasenko wasn't that good. Foligno also, I'm going to pass on Foligno for now. He was good last year, but he was also stapled to Bedard for a lot of last season, and the Hawks have many more offensive weapons this time around. And lastly, Raquel himself is obviously interesting. It does hurt your Ben Kindles and your Tommy Novaks, who were kind of taking up the role when he was gone. But Evgeny Malkin just got hurt, so maybe there's still a spot for one of those younger guys to take a role in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Malkin, obviously that's going to hurt anybody who is not on the Crosby line, because it's going to drop the quality of your second line center there. But yeah, it could be interesting. I think one person that I might have an eye on with regards to the Zuccarello injury, I know that, you know, Tarasenko, yeah, not very exciting even when he was given that spot, but maybe Marco Rossi coming back. There's been some rumblings about his road to recovery. So that might be someone I keep an eye on to, you know, if maybe he's coming off IR and he's on that power play one in practice, that could be someone who might be interesting. But he also didn't do a ton with that spot, but that exposure is pretty valuable, so it might be worth keeping an eye on.
I do like Rossi. Also, not related to the injury, keep an eye on Yakov Trenin in Minnesota. He has recently surpassed Kiefer Sherwood for the most hits this season, so you might have your new Banger League King showing up.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Daniil Yurov is, interesting at times as well. Okay, one last little speed run here. Jordan Kyrou has taken an MRI. He's hurt, but it's not serious. Still going to be out at least a week. The Blues have struggled mightily anyway. Only kind of Braden Schenn maybe has had some decent outings lately. This may be one of those IR vacations that Elon liked to talk about. Maybe Kyrou can use the time to get right. But unfortunately, just when it seemed like Buffalo was starting to get things under control injury-wise, Jason Zucker, who was on a nice little run, is out with injury, and Josh Norris announced out right after puck drop. So people stuck with him on their lineups if they had him there. So, you know, we saw from Zucker's injury, we saw Isaac Rosane get called up. And, you know, now there might be another, you know, run of relevance, I suppose, for McLeod in the middle. Anything there for you in Buffalo or related to the Blues with Kyrou out?
I don't have much of an opinion related to the Blues. I think the most interesting thing here is if you go read the tweet from Jeremy Rutherford, the reporter, this may be the most descriptive injury tweet I have ever seen from the NHL. I'll let you go look it up and read it yourself. As for Buffalo, I do think McLeod is interesting. Whoever gets that power play one slot from Zucker, whether it's Doan or McLeod or someone else like Jack Quinn, that's interesting. I'm much more interested in Zucker's replacement than Norris's. It sounds like Norris was just out with illness and soreness, which is weird because those are two different things, but it doesn't sound particularly long-term. While I believe Zucker, it sounds like it was a pretty bad injury and he'll be out multiple weeks.
I believe pretty strongly that Josh Norris often is out with some kind of just, you know, pain from his wide variety of injured time. So I believe it. I believe that he could be ill and also be in pain. Yeah, definitely tougher news with Zucker again, with some excitement there. But watch for who that top power play person might be. Josh Doan did pot a power play goal here on Tuesday night. So could be an interesting option. I definitely was eyeing him, but he got snatched up before I could make a move. One other piece of injury news here, and hopefully the last one. I don't think we can stand any more of these, but Elias Pettersson is out with injury, and that is going to have some, you know, tumble down effects that we'll see on the other side of the break here. But any immediate thoughts on the PD injury before we cover the rest of the team in that patron question?
It's certainly rough for Vancouver as a whole. I mean, now they're down their top two centers, both Pettersson and Filip Hedl, who was their second line center to start the year. Quinn Hughes is cold as ice. I don't think he has a point in his last seven games, and he's all over the trade rumors, which doesn't do great for one psyche. Yeah, it's going to be interesting after the break to talk with you about what other Canucks are even worth holding at this point.
Yeah, it's a tough question, especially with, you know, we had hoped that, you know, Hughes' return would give us something. But yeah, it's been icy when Atu Rati is the only player on your team with a hot designation on Frozen Tools, and five of your top six forwards and defensemen have a little snowflake next to them. You know, things are not going well. But we are going to take a quick break here. We will see you on the other side. You're listening to Short Shifts.
Every yard, every sack, every interception, and every touchdown with Pick 6 DraftKings' newest game, every snap can turn into a big-time payout. This isn't just watching the game. This is playing to win. Here's how it works. Pick more or less on two or more player stats. The better your picks, the bigger your payout. It's that simple. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in Pick 6 credits with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. You know the game. Now make it pay. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer. The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Rakuten, use them to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's saving on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, and cash back is automatically added to your account. And you can choose to get paid via Interac, e-transfer, PayPal, or check. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to rakuten.ca, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's r-a-k-u-t-e-n, spells Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Short Shifts. All right, we got a great patron question from Trev, who has been on Short Shifts before, who also runs the accountability channel in the Discord, keeping us honest. You know, calling out things like when the mega show hosts say we're looking at Ovi cooked as a fantasy asset, and when Short Shifts comes on and says, nah, I would hold on to him at least for a while, see if you can't trade him when he starts to heat up again. Oh, and then he, you know, goes on 113 point pace. Anyway, he keeps track of that stuff for us. And we had a question about who is worth hanging on to in Vancouver. You know, this was asked, I think, when Pedersen's status was unknown, and it sounds like the injury is not too bad and he will likely be back pretty soon. But it is a good question because this has to be the coldest team in the NHL before the break. I pointed out that Frozen Tools has the vast majority of the top six forwards and defensemen listed as cold without points in the last several games. And some of these droughts are really spectacular. So I want to run through this just quickly with a few of these players, and I am curious your feedback. So anytime you've got someone who you think is an interesting person to talk about, just stop me and we can talk about them a bit. Overall, not a great looking offense. 21st in shot attempts for the Canucks per 60 minutes at 5-on-5, 24th in actual shots. So they're getting, you know, even fewer of them through. You know, they're 24th in high danger chances per 60. You get the picture. And just for fun, they have the third worst penalty kill in the league. So part of this, though, is definitely some bad luck. Vancouver is scoring below their expected goals for at even strength and on the power play. They actually have the highest total expected goals for on the power play in the league. And only the Islanders have a bigger delta between their expected and actual power play goals, at least as of this recording. But the Tuesday night games may have changed that up a bit. You know, they're just shooting 12% on the power play. They're below the likes of Buffalo, Philly, the Blues. You know, having Quinn Hughes out for a chunk is going to be part of that, but they're just having some really tough luck. You know, again, like I said, if Achiraty is your only hot player, you know, things are really rough. And the way they look down the middle with Pettersson injured, you know, it gives me, you know, that 2022 Wild look where just great wings, nothing down the center. So they asked about who might be worth holding on to. And I'm looking at Besser, Sherwood, DeBrusque, Garland, Kane, I think are, you know, the players who are most likely to be owned out in whatever leagues you might have. I've been going for a bit. Jeremy, why don't you lead the way here? How do you feel about guys, those fellas that I listed?
So taking a look at the stats, Kiefer Sherwood is an obvious hold in banger leagues. I think that's the no-brainer of the group in banger leagues. You know, if he's not in a banger league, maybe you're letting him go. He does shoot quite a bit, but he's not a prolific scorer. He's not getting power play one time, although he did last game, apparently. The other guys are a bit more interesting. I think you have to keep Besser. He just gets the ice time. He gets the power play deployment. He shoots enough. Garland, I thought I was going to say get rid of him, but he's also shooting a lot. Like, I don't think you can justify keeping Besser and dumping Garland. So I guess I'm keeping both of them. And DeBrusque, too. Like, you've got the shots, you've got the deployment. I actually think I've ranked Garland ahead of DeBrusque, which is different than I thought I would before I started looking at the stats. And the clear bottom of this list is Evander Kane. I don't think you should be keeping Evander Kane. He's always been power play two. He's only getting about 15 minutes a night. He's not even shooting or hitting that much compared to what people think Evander Kane is. So I guess to sum things up, Besser, DeBrusque, and Garland are all holds for me. Kane is a definite not hold, and Sherwood is dependent on league format, but I'm going to say hold because most leagues that I've seen these days count hits.
Yeah, I, you know, just looking at some of the recent history for some of these guys, you mentioned that Quinn Hughes has been ice cold. You know, over that same period, it's just really been the entire team. You know, Besser has 2 goals on 36 shots over the last month. He's never going to be threatened for top deployment, I don't think. He is a hold for me, and he's the top of my list. Some of that is probably a little bit of bias just because I got him on my roster, maybe affecting my thinking. Sherwood's kind of in the same boat where he's shooting okay, 3 goals on 35 shots in the month, but it's the recent stretch, the last 8 games, nothing to show for his last 28 shots. And he has no points in those 8 games. He's shooting plenty right now. Some of these are going to go in. DeBrusque is there too. I like DeBrusque, I guess, over Garland. We're splitting hairs maybe a little bit here. But I like DeBrusque because he has shown the ability to shoot, you know, in the middle teens and not just at kind of the 10% spot where he's at right now. Garland pretty much is shooting more or less what we've expected both recently and over the course of the season. So I just kind of look at Garland as a lower potential DeBrusque, although he is getting big minutes, like 20 minutes a night. So if you feel more confident with DeBrusque's minutes, or I'm sorry, with Garland's minutes, then maybe he is worth holding on to. I'm with you on Kane, not worth holding even in a shallower league right now. I think if you're in a shallower league where there are cold line one power play one types on the wire, I think I'd be okay, you know, maybe letting a Sherwood go, like you say, depending on the league setup. But I have some confidence in these shots. And I feel like the way that they are shooting, maybe they're not even the best shots, but some of these are going to start finding the back of the net. So I'm kind of like you. I was surprised that I, you know, ended up feeling more positive about Vancouver than I expected. So I think they are cold right now. There may be some psychological element to it, like you said, thinking about what it might be to lose Quinn Hughes. But I think they are better than what they've showed us certainly recently. So if you've been holding them through this, I think you maybe want to hold them to give them a chance to rebound.
And maybe there's some buy low potential here. I do think we were mentioning the Garland versus DeBrusque. I think I won't fault you for liking DeBrusque over Garland. They're roughly equivalent to me. You called DeBrusque a higher upside Garland. I see Garland as a safer floor DeBrusque, so maybe it's a bit on your risk appetite as to which one you'd prefer of those two.
Yeah, maybe it depends on kind of how you're doing on the season, right? You know, if you need to take a bigger swing. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. All right, let's wrap up this evening running through some hots and colds. I'm going to cover the hots for you because it has been very cold in Michigan all week long, and I would like to warm myself up a little bit. So we're going to start with Carter Verhaeghe, just playing great, 6 goals on his last 21 shots. So probably not sustainable there, but we know Verhaeghe can be a high percentage shooter. He's got 5 assists in there too for 11 points in the last 6 games. He's getting big time deployment, and Florida is relying on him on power play 1, unlike during his slumpy start. So I think I feel pretty confident that Verhaeghe has put that slow start behind him. I don't think he's going to continue, you know, at a near 2 point per game pace, but I do think that he is very exciting player right now. Maybe at the peak of his desirability. I wonder if you're in a pretty decent spot, would you try and trade up a couple, you know, a few rounds in the draft for, you know, another person who's going to hold good deployment, but hasn't been playing as well, like JT Miller, for instance?
I'm absolutely making that trade. I have some question marks about Verhaeghe's deployment once Tkachuk comes back. You know, they both play the same wing. You never know which one's going to end up getting bumped or if they're both going to stay on the power play. Verhaeghe's been great, but if you can get JT Miller and his absolutely elite New York Rangers playoff schedule, I'd buy that in an instant.
Yeah, I think that could be a really clever move, especially if you are feeling pretty good that you are going to be in those playoffs and that those games are going to be meaningful for you. That was just, you know, I was looking for, you know, who's somebody who is in a good spot on their team that their team is going to rely on and who I can trust to throw some hits, just like we hope to get from Miller. So that looked like, or yeah, like we get from Verhaeghe. In any case, I thought that might be an interesting combo and maybe one that a frustrated JT Miller owner, although they've been feeling better lately, you know, to look at Verhaeghe's explosive performance, I think you might be able to pull that one off. Make sure you message us if you get it. All right, take us to a cold streak. We're going to head to the blue line in Montreal.
All my cold streaks this week are actually blue liners, but the first one is Mike Matheson. He started off really hot, which I think shocked a lot of people, including me, because they added Noah Dobson this summer, and now Matheson is their third option on the blue line. But he was a really good fantasy own, and in fact, it looks like he's 100% owned in Cupful. But I think it's time to start considering letting him go. He's got 1 point in his last 6. He's been slowly tapering down the peripherals, too. Like, it was an early season darling, but clearly it wasn't going to last. Are you holding on to Matheson as your third or fourth defenseman, or are you switching over to a streamer?
Well, I have rarely held a fourth defenseman this season when I can help it, as long as I'm able to get enough forwards out there. So for the most part, I've been running a trio of Sergachev, Falk, and Walker. And then I added Lindholm and traded Sergachev away to get, Charlie McAvoy. And we did a little bit of a forward swap. We're in deep enough. I don't need to get into all of this. But anyway, I actually had Matheson as my fourth defenseman. He was the Mr. Irrelevant pick in my division. I had that great early night, but then I tossed him pretty quick. He still maintained some relevance. But yeah, I don't see any reason to hold on to him. And I have seen him popping up with great frequency on the waiver wire. So I think if you let him go, if you want to get him back at some point, he probably will be lying around for you. All right. Well, we talked a little bit before about Pasternak's return. Wanted to talk about some hot forwards for the Bruins, the two players that I think are kind of going to fall into two different buckets in terms of our interest, even though they're both performing well. Pavel Zacha can be a bit frustrating. Sometimes he isn't going to shoot for you. And some, you know, if he doesn't assist on those nights, he's not getting you very much. But he's going to be consistently getting nice deployment. He has 4 points in the last 3 games prior to Tuesday. But he did only have 3 points in the 10 games before that. If you held him through that cold streak, I don't see any reason why you would ditch him with Pasternak back and a much more formidable power play. So, you know, maybe run out and grab him if Zaka hit the waiver wire, if you're in a shallower league. But again, that recent success, maybe he's been snapped up. Definitely less enthused about Arvidsson. You know, he's giving Josh Norris, with the in and out nature of his injuries, two of his 5 points in the last five games were on the power play. But both of them came when he was playing 70%+ of the power play. So getting that power play one designation over his last four games, he was down to 50%, 47, 43, and 37% as of midway through Tuesday's game. So I think you've already gotten what you were going to get from Arvidsson and should move on. If he pops back up on that top power play and starts to produce, I think that could be exciting again. Nice for a short-term stream. But again, in and out of the lineup, some of that production recently is really just the result of power play deployment. He's not getting any more. Zaka, still interested.
I'm tepidly interested in Zaka. I don't think he's a must hold, but he's getting power play one deployment. Boston does play Sunday this week and then four games next week. So that could be a potential Sunday savior if he's available into a nice four game week. I'm with you on Arvidsson, though. He is shooting a decent amount, you know, two shots, three shots, two, four, three. But without the power play deployment, I'm skeptical that it continues because he only plays 15 minutes a night.
All right. Well, we can talk about another player who has experienced quite a bit of skepticism throughout the course of this season. Heading over to Minnesota and looking at Brock Faber, who is now on a cold streak, really has just been quite a pretty hot and cold season, I think, for Faber, but more on the cold side. What do we think about it? Anything actionable here for us?
I feel vindicated from a couple weeks ago calling Brock Faber a drop. I'm pretty sure as soon as I did that, he went cold for six straight games. I apologize to anybody who was hoping that would continue. I will say the shots, while they're drying up a bit, are still there. He's still blocking plenty, and he's on power play one. I do think he's worth continuing to hold, but he's not like a must-have, go-get-him type of guy. I'm just not a big Brock Faber believer when it comes to his offense. I think he's just going to eat a lot of minutes and play some good hockey and not necessarily put up big points.
Yeah, I spent a little time early in the season feeling some, you know, some type of way about missing out on Faber and then Boyum and then kind of back and forth and back and forth. The big win of betting on the on the young defenseman was Matthew Schaefer. That's been discussed ad nauseum, but it's been just so interesting that the Minnesota defensemen have been worth holding at times, but never for any sort of extended period. All right, one more hot streak. This is more of just a stick tap to the guy, Colin Graf, with three goals on six shots in his last three games. No power play time on ice worth speaking of. Meh deployment. Good for you, buddy, but let's not fall into the trap of thinking that this is something that is worth dropping, you know, a reasonable roster player for. Why don't you take us to talk about one more blue line cold streak for us, Jeremy?
I will say real quick on Colin Graf, though, the last couple games he has been playing with Celebrini and Smith. They did switch up the lines a bit to try to get a bit more offense. They've got Graf, Celebrini, Smith, Wenberg, Eklund, Toffoli. So maybe there's some little bit of orange to juice here with him playing on that top line, more in a streamer sense than a long-term sense. But stick taps for goals in three straight. Actually, looking at their shots for and against tonight, they had two shots for and 13 against as a line, so maybe that's not going to stick.
Oof, yeah, you're really getting caved when that's happening to you.
My last cold streak, though, is actually a guy that was drafted pretty early that might be a drop. Would you consider dropping Dougie Hamilton? He's got 0 points in his last seven, one in his last 12. Simo Nemec is taking power play one currently. Is this just kind of the end of Dougie Hamilton as a fantasy asset with Hughes and Nemec coming up?
I mean, it's hard to say, right? Because, I do think, obviously, Nemec and Hughes represent a real significant threat. This is more of a, you know, Sergachev stealing from Hedman situation than some of the, you know, other times we've seen some defensemen, you know, kind of step ahead of a more established guy. obviously 1 point in 12 games is not what you want to see when you're holding Hamilton. I think that my approach to defensemen this year has just been kind of to get guys who are giving you a decent floor of peripherals and might, you know, get you some points here and there. I've been pleasantly surprised that Falk has gotten as many points as he had. He's been a savior. But, you know, Sean Walker has been worth holding on to for giving me that kind of stuff. I don't know that Hamilton is going to be, as long as New Jersey is finding success, I do worry about Hamilton. I think he might get scooped up because he has name value. Ugh, it's a really tough spot. I would do it because I have been trying to move on from defensemen a little more quickly than I have in the past.
I don't think I'm actually getting rid of him. I think it's going to be a temptation if I own him in any leagues. Just every week, oh, Hamilton only plays three games. Is this the week that I dump him because I don't like holding defensemen? But, I mean, I held Mackenzie Weegar all season, so I guess I have to be defending Hamilton here.
Yeah, you know, I think it depends on maybe what you paid for him, maybe playing a bit of effect. Maybe you can deal him based on name value, you know, tell him, yeah, look, it's been bad lately, but I'm ready to sell low, you know, get somebody who is at least, you know, a bit interesting and maybe, you know, Hamilton's name. Maybe you take the Ovechkin approach and you let him at least tally a couple points before, you know, you get rid of him. So he might be able to flip him for someone and, you know, maybe he puts together a nice run. Anything obviously can happen here, but it does make me quite nervous. You know, the youth revolution seems to be, you know, coming on pretty strong in New Jersey. And maybe they are going to be ready to turn the page sooner rather than later. And speaking of turning the page, bud, we are going to call it a night here. Thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure to get to work together. Jeremy, was super fun, to switch things up a little bit. And I imagine, you know, we'll have more opportunities to do so as the season continues. But good luck in your match against Brian. And anything you want to leave the people with on your way out here?
I'll pick one more quick bit of news that I just saw come across the line. It looks like the Canadiens have recalled a trio of prospects, including goaltender Jacob Fowler. I would be super pumped to see Fowler start getting NHL games this week. We'll see if it happens.
Oh, that is super cool. Yeah, keep an eye out there, especially, you know, dynasty leaguers, you know, maybe be salivating at this opportunity here. Outstanding. All right. Well, thank you again for joining us. If you enjoyed the show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group. You can find it at keepingcarlson.com/patron. Super supporters receive ad-free episodes, and supporters at any level can interact with Brian, Elon, the Short Shifts crew, and hundreds of other talented fantasy managers on our super active Discord server. Check out gamedaytweets.com to get all the best information from X, searchable by team, searchable by player name. Please visit that site and all the great sites we use to research our episodes at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach, and until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.